Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Wow, what a blessing. Can we honor our daddy for this blessed opportunity? Wow. Bishop, thank you so much for your love. Yes, your love. You are too nice. You and mommy, you are too nice. They are calling us friends, but we are not friends at all. We are their children, I tell you. And I mean, we've enjoyed the fellowship, the love. I mean, we're so glad that you have included us to your children. We are part of your family. You know, you like us too much. And we are grateful. We are thankful. I remember one of those days where somewhere, there were a lot of people, you know, around who wanted to see. They were trying to come around, Daddy. And then I showed up. When I showed up, hey, Bishop, come. Then he held me. He left everybody. I said, hey, Charlie. I'm blessed. Thank you for this great opportunity to stand on your platform, on your pulpit, and share these words. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And all of us are here. We are existing because of our father, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Wow. When I listen to him, I just feel full. Yeah. I get so many ideas. You know, some years ago, I was reading one of his books on church administration. And he said something in the book. I said, man, this is why administration is important. I didn't know it was a powerful thing until I read that book. I mean, I've been guided in the ministry. He's been my Bible school. Yeah, in terms of the ministry, like how to get things done, how to make things work, how to choose people, what to say, camp meetings. I learned how to do camp meetings through him. I can stand and talk for 6 hours. Hey, Charlie, it's anointing, oh. I got everything from him. You know, when we talk about council, executive council, all is from him. Everything. I don't know any council from anywhere. I did chemistry. All I know is to mix chemical, do bombs here and there. You know, so I really honor him. I really love him. And I can't wait to buy you an aeroplane. Yes, by the grace. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Let us pray. Father, thank you for this blessing. We are grateful. We are thankful for this great opportunity once again. Lord, speak to us. Lord, we depend on you. Dear Holy Spirit, we depend on you. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let Jesus become more and more real to us. Let Jesus take center stage in our lives and in our ministry like never before. Lord, bring your word to us with so much clarity and so much understanding. Let it be so easy for all of us to understand to your glory, even in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, you may kindly take your seats in heavenly places where you belong. So today we are sharing on the work, my work. You remember? Yeah, so today we are doing my work. We've been doing my work for the last 2 days. Maybe we'll touch my faithfulness briefly. Yeah, but today I want to just share with you on your work with God. Hallelujah. Well, there are Christians who want to swerve the work of God. Have you ever met a Christian who wants to swerve the work of God? Yeah, but it's also, you can't swerve. It's like marrying and not wanting to do anything in the marriage. You don't want to what? You don't want to cook. You don't want to wash. You don't want to clean. You don't want to do anything. I mean, it's like, what type of a person are you? How can we live with you? We can't live with you. It's not going to work. Is it? And so if you are the wife of God, if you are the bride of Christ, okay, then it's just natural and normal to get some things done. Hallelujah. Yeah. So there's nothing like salvation without a calling. Salvation comes with a call. Okay. It is so urgent that at the new birth, when you get born again, I mean, nobody does that. Why would you give a job to a freshly born baby? Would you want to do that? You just give birth and then you give the child something to do. It doesn't work. But that's how God does it. As soon as you get born again, that same instant you get born again, he gives you a responsibility. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then he says, and all these new things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Then he says, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Immediately he reconciles you, he gives you a ministry. Turn to the nearest neighbor by you and ask your neighbor, do you know that you have a ministry? Ask him, are you born again? Then you have a ministry. Immediately you get born again. It's like the thing is so urgent that we can't wait. Yeah, we can't wait. And amazingly, the cooking starts immediately you get married. Or the work, I mean, at the honeymoon now, it's like things are happening. As we're having intimacy, everything, we're also some food. We have to eat now. We have to do some things now. So, come again. We need energy to work. You have to start moving. I now understand what you're saying. I didn't understand initially. Now I understand.
Okay.
Yeah. Right then. So marriage is for intimacy and for partnership. Do you see? We come together to partner together to fulfill a vision. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has a vision. And he doesn't do that vision alone. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 is a very famous scripture. This year is our year of, is this building the church, right? This year is what? Blessing or curse? Last year was blessing and no curse. Last year was greater and better. And then the other one was what? There's one that was our build. Our year of work was last year, right? It's been 2 years. That's the last I remember. Amazing. Wow. He says, and I see also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is Jesus talking. But if you've read your Bible, you will notice that when you become born again, you become a member of the body of Christ, isn't it? And if you become a member of the body of Christ, it's in the Bible, it's also in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's do verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Paul says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For by one spirit are we all immersed into one body. What body is he talking about? He's talking about the body of Christ. So verse 27, go to verse 27, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, says that now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. All of us are the body of Christ. All of us are members of the body of Christ. Do you see? Huh? So you are, I don't know, maybe you are Christ's little toe, or you are Christ's kneecap, but you are part of the body of Christ. Do you see? And when, let me show you Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 21. Paul says, Christ has been exalted far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Next verse. Then he says, and he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So Jesus is the head of the church. Then, next verse. He says, which is his body? The church is the body of Jesus, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Do you see? So Jesus is the head and we are the body. Now, if I, this is my wife here, Yvonne. If I say Yvonne, I'm not talking about Yvonne's head. I'm talking about Yvonne and her body. Yeah, and actually, the head is the central processing unit of the body. So the head just has to think, see, all the five senses are in the head. Do you see? It is to get to interpret things, get information, and tell the body to move to get it done. brothers and sisters, if you feel like wooing right now, your bladder, there are doctors here and pharmacists here. I just miss chemicals. I don't know much. I'm a doctor by association, by the grace of God. But what I know from my little science is that, or from my little biology, is that when your bladder gets full, your bladder sends, there are some nerves, whatever, that sends information to your brain. Then your brain says that, hey, gets the information, say, hey, the body has to move. Legs, let's move. Hands, let's move. Find the nearest bathroom. No be so. But if your legs decide that we ain't going nowhere, what do you think will happen? It's what? It's a holiday. Your legs decide that it's a holiday. We are not moving. We are enjoying the air condition. It's very nice. The message is very powerful. So we are not moving. Waterworks. Something bad will happen, isn't it? Uh-huh. So no matter how powerful your head is, if you are paralyzed, nothing can happen. So Christ, when Jesus says that, I will build my church, I know. The I know is the head and the body. You understand? The I know is the head and the body. It's not only the head. It's the head and the body. So you cannot say, if you are a part of the church, part of the body of Christ, that you are not interested in doing anything in the house of God, or are not interested in fulfilling the ministry that God has given to you. We all have a ministry. There's nothing like salvation without a calling. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. I don't know if you like what I'm telling you. Wow. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. I missed it. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Okay, let's read from verse 8 so it makes more sense. It will make more sense from verse 8. It says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Then it's a semicolon. So you can read this, the next one, as God who has saved us. God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Immediately he saves you, he calls you. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. So there's a purpose. He has a purpose. And because of his purpose, he gives us grace. He says, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So as you're sitting here, God has something for you to do. Yeah. God has something for you to do. And you are the only person who can do it. Can you imagine? You are the only person who can do it. Yeah. If you don't do it, it will remain undone. Amazingly. Yeah. Someone may do something similar, but not in the exact same way you would have done it if you had yielded yourself for God to do it through you. Should I go home? I should keep preaching. Yes. We are saved and called. It comes together. It's not separated. It comes together. Are you the body of Christ? Are you a member of the body of Christ? If you are a member of the body of Christ, then the I will build my church is in reference to you. Rich. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? It says, for the perfection of the saints. Their job is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's read message. I think it will be easier if you're reading the message. Go to 11, yes. It says, God filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher. Do you see? And their purpose is to train Christians. Turn to the nearest Christian by you, who is not an apostle or a pastor or whatever, and say, you are the one to be trained. To train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, because we are the members of the body, the church. Yes. Not to train pastors. No, it's not pastors who are to do the work. It's Christians who are to do the work. The pastors are to train Christians. So I'm a trainer. I mean, I don't kill myself to do some things. I just do what the Bible says I should do. My job is to train. So I train.
I train ordinary Christians, ordinary people, to take up the work of the ministry, to fulfill what God has for them to do. Because at the end of your life, brothers and sisters, you never know when you are going to go. Check your neighbor's forehead. And check if there's you can see the expiry date. Because there's an expiry date on all of us. That's the amazing thing. Invisible ink. Every day lived is a day closer to your departure. To meet your husband. Some people are saying, oh, since Jesus died, they say Jesus is coming back. We've been waiting, we've been waiting. Even if you were sitting on Pragya, he would have arrived by now. You are in the Bible. Eh? Those who talk like that, they are in the Bible. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Look at 2 Peter 2, 1. I hope I'm right. 2 Peter 2, 1. I'm digressing a bit. By the way, false prophets. Next verse. Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Next verse, verse 3. Is it chapter 3 or chapter 2? Chapter 3. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. I think it's chapter 3. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Next verse. That ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days the scoffers, walking after their own lusts. He says, the last days will come with scoffers. Yeah. Next verse. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, or since the fathers died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Everything is normal. Jesus says he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Away. You are in there. They are in the Bible. And then he tells them the answer. He says, next verse. He says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. So it's ignorance that makes them talk like that. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Next verse. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Yeah. This goes, he's even talking beyond Noah. He's talking beyond Noah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I don't want to go into it. I also not close. Hallelujah. Then he says that this world that is here. Next verse. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So fire is coming. The old world was destroyed with water. This world will be destroyed with fire. And the water was judgment for the old one. Fire, judgment for this world. The two will be mixed to form a lake of fire. Are you understanding? This one is fire. The other one was water. The two be mixed to form a lake of fire, which is the final place for those who were judged in that time and those who will be judged in this time to be eternally. So, Charlie, something wild is coming. Wow. And I can tell you that you are getting closer and closer to meeting your Lord, to meeting your husband. And your husband is checking whether he can work with you. I mean, when you're married, you also check some things, isn't it? Or you don't check some things. You check some things. You check if the girl, is she working? Can she do jollof?
Wow.
Can she do fried rice? What can she do? You check some one or two things before you don't just enter the marriage. We have married. Hey, you see that they have brought granuts to the granuts to be granuts, real granuts inside. Hey, Lord, save our brothers from unwanted granule soup. You know, but in Revelation 14, verse 13, the Bible lets us know that only one thing will follow you out of this world. Look at this. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. When you die in the Lord, he says, only one thing follows you. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And their works do follow them. So only your works in the Lord will follow you at the end of the day. Wow. The people you brought to the house of God. The singing you were doing in the house of God. Your mobile phone will not follow you. You know, I have this friend who passed. Today is his memorial service. I had seen him on Saturday. And then Tuesday morning, I got a call. Tuesday morning around 10, let's say 11, I got a call that he had passed. I said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, you can come and if you want to come and pray for him, please come. I was called to come and pray for him. And I drove to the hospital. When he was lying on the bed, he was gone. 41-year-old young man. Very strong. He actually went to a gym. If you are ill, you don't go to a gym. He was in the gym trying, stretching out. Then he was like, I feel breathless. Take me to the hospital. 4 minutes drive from, take me to the hospital. To the hospital, he was gone. Yeah. That day I realized that, man, Charlie, they can call you at any time. Oh. It's like, stop work. Stop work. Is it even a natural? When they say stop work, you still be writing. But Charlie, this one, you can't be writing. Stop work. It's finished. You are gone. Hey, you can't say, let me save one more soul. Let me bring one more person to the church. Let me sing one more song. All your songs are finished. All your soul winning is finished. Everything is finished. Now you stand before your Lord and it's either he says thank you or says, you didn't finish what I wanted you to do. You weren't faithful to me along the lines of working with me, and you weren't faithful to me along the lines of being intimate with me. Hey. How many of you would want to get commendation from the Lord when you meet him? So only one thing matters, your intimacy with him and your work with him. That is what he's checking to see if you'll be faithful to him about. So when we talk about loyalty, loyalty is primarily to God. And he's checking whether you'll be intimate with him many times or every day, and you would work with him every day. Wow. Please, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to be smart. You have to be smart. So we are the body of Christ. And because we are the body of Christ, we are the ones that Jesus works with. Jesus doesn't work alone. He works with us. Hallelujah. Yeah. He calls us to work with him, to build his body, to make things work. Because at the end of the day, we'll stand before him. You know, everybody will be commended. When you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, look at 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Let's even read from verse 2. Okay, because Paul talks about his faithfulness. Moreover, it is required in Stephen that a man be found faithful or loyal. Okay, go to verse 1. I think verse 1 would be nice. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You see, and this verse, the actual thing is that let a man account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the word ministers of Christ is under shepherds. Under shepherds. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And we are deputy shepherds. So the actual rendering is under shepherd or under rower. You know, those years ago when they used to use canoes for war and all, or ships for war, it was actually paddled by men. And you'd have someone stand before them to make sure they paddle in sync. The one who makes sure they paddle in sync is called the rower. Then those who do it, those who do the actual thing are called the under rower. So he makes them sink, or else as one is pulling in front, the other one will be pulling backwards and the ship will not be able to move. So someone must make sure they are in sync. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes sure we are in sync, and we are the ones who work under him. Do you see? So he says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and see us of the mysteries of God. Next verse. Moreover, it is required in us that a man be found faithful. Then he says in the next verse, he says, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. If you are thinking that, you are wondering, has he been faithful? Or of man's judgment? Yea, I judge not my own self. Paul says, I don't even know if I've done all the things I'm supposed to do. Next verse. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judged me is the Lord. I don't know if I'm, the King James is too much, eh? Let's read TPT. I forgot, me read female. Go to TPT, Go to verse 3. But personally, I'm not the least bit concerned if I'm judged by you or any verdict I receive from any human court. In fact, I don't even assume to be my own judge. Next verse. Even though my conscience is clear, but that doesn't mean I stand acquitted before the Lord. For the only judge I care about is him. Because there's judgment waiting for us. And in our case, the judgment waiting for us is not judgment to condemnation, but judgment to reward. Of reward. To reward you for the works that he wanted you to do. Hey! Now, look at the next verse 5. Then he says, so resist the temptation to pronounce premature judgment on anything before the appointed time, when all will be fully revealed. Instead, wait till the Lord makes his appearance, for he will bring all that is hidden in darkness to light and unveil every secret motive of everyone's heart. Then he says, then, when the whole truth is known, each will receive praise from God. So all of us will receive praise from God. The King James says, we receive our due commendation. So you may not be an archbishop, but wherever it is that God has placed you to do whatever, if you do what he's telling, the key thing is to be faithful. That's the key thing. At the end of the day, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not thou good and powerful servant. Thou good and full of ability servant. No. Or gifted servant. No. But well done, thou good and faithful servant. So you're faithful. Were you faithful to him in doing, in walking with him in love and in working with him? Do you see? So it's a very serious matter that we must not play with. Hallelujah. He builds his church with us. Ask your neighbor. Neighbor, what do you think God has called you to do? Get an answer. Get an answer. Yeah, do what you're supposed to do, because you never know when the Lord will say, it's okay, stop work, come. Pens down. There was a brother I grew up with. He was like my brother. He was not my parents' child, but his parents are my godparents. Young guy, I mean, doing very well, everything was fine. Pa, cancer. Pa, 3 months. Pa, he's gone. Just like that. Yeah. Just like that. Yeah. Every now and then, thoughts of him come to me. I'm like, man, is this guy really gone? He left a pregnant wife. Yeah, he just married for 1 year or something like that. And his daughter was almost born on his birthday. It's like they said, let's delay the thing. At least it should be 1 day before or 1 day after. Yeah, because it was some way. Yeah. You never know when the Lord will say, it is enough. When this my friend passed, I realized that, hey, I have to do what I'm supposed to do. Because I don't know when they will say stop work. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, when it comes to working with the Lord, our work, okay, we must be careful not to think that we are working for the Lord only, but we are actually working with the Lord. Amen. That's the main thing I want to bring to your mind. I know that he talks about work for the Lord, but actually what he means is to work with the Lord. If you listen to him very carefully, you notice that he doesn't do what he has not been commissioned to do. Because basic ministry, working, I will build my church. Did he say you will build your church? Hello? Hi. Did he say you will build your church?
No.
And when you build, the gates of hell will prevail. Yeah, but when he builds, the gates of hell does not prevail. Okay? As soon as you set out on your own, you are in trouble. Ministry, basic and extreme ministry. Basic ministry, doing anything in the house of God, cleaning the chairs, whatever. It's all found in John chapter 2, verse 5. In John 2, 5, Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave us the blueprint for ministry. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You don't just do. You only do what he says you should do. Hallelujah. So there's no verse in the Bible that shows us that you can just work for the Lord. No. Catherine Coleman one day wanted to help her mother with washing because she noticed how stressed her mother was. She was young. She was just, I think, 7 year old, 8 year old. So she wanted to help mommy to work. Then she waited for mommy to go to town and decided to do the laundry. She picked all the clothing, mixed them together and put them in the washing machine, put the powder on it, press wash, and then sat down happily and then finished the washing and then hanged all the clothing at the entrance of the house so that mommy will see how great a job she has done. So mommy comes home, sees the clothing, drops the things,
and starts crying. It's like, what have you done? She's like, oh, mommy, I helped. I'm helping you. I see how you are suffering. I'm helping you do this. She had mixed the white clothing with the blue clothing with the green clothing, and she had designed a rainbow. She had developed rainbow, the clothes that become rainbow. Tie and dye. You see, she wanted to help, but she actually created a mess. A big mess. So in Christ, you don't move on your own. You move as he talks to you, as he tells you. Remember, he is the rower. He is the chief shepherd. We are under shepherds. You can't just do what you want to do. He says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It is what he says to do that you do. Should I go home? I should keep preaching. There were a number of people who were told to build a church in the Bible. One of the people who were told to build the church was Solomon. Solomon was told by his father David, build the temple. What was the advice David gave to him? Psalm 127 verse 1. Look at Psalm 127 verse 1. A David psalm. Let's read Psalm 127, King James. Now, if you have a good Bible, they will write that a song to Solomon or a psalm to Solomon. Okay? Pastor Kobe, maybe you can check. If you have a good King James, whatever, they will say a song to, is it true? A song of degrees for Solomon. So David sang the song or gave the song to Solomon. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. You cannot build the Lord's house on your own. The Lord must build for you to build. Amen. Look at the next verse. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So we are struggling to work with the Lord because in our minds we are to work for the Lord. Please, you understand what I'm saying? So it's like you are alone in what you are doing. It's like God has given you a responsibility. He has put something on you and he has left you and you have to do something. No. The work of the Lord is not done like that at all. Nobody can do the work of God. God works with you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If it is a yoke from him, then it will be easy. If it's a burden from him, then it will be light. If it is heavy, it is not he who gave it to you. Hallelujah. Zerubbabel was also commissioned to build the temple of God, right? When Solomon's temple was broken down, he was also commissioned to rebuild. And when in his rebuilding, God sent him a message. So Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He says, not by might. Then he answered and said, speak unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto tell Zerubbabel, this guy who is going to build, tell him, not by might. If you use your might, it won't work. Not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. If you try, you enlist strength, that's it, you are done. Ministry is not done with strength. By strength shall no man prevail. No flesh must glory in God's presence. God hates it when you bring flesh. Flesh must not prevail before the Lord. Flesh must not have glory before the Lord. As soon as you set out on your own, you are in trouble. Or as soon as you do the work of God on your, like, you are cleaning the church and you are thinking that you are alone in it, you start grumbling. Oh, there's this, like, nobody is coming, nobody is helping me, it's only me, I'm the only one doing it. Because you think that you are the one who is doing it. You've forgotten about Jesus, who is in you to get it done. Ministry is done by God. Only. And you saying yes to what he's doing through you. Hey, Ayeshe. God hates flesh. Tell me about God hates flesh. God doesn't like it when your flesh is involved. When I say flesh, I'm talking about you doing it on your own, naturally. Yes, naturally. It doesn't work. Okay, let me show it to you. Okay, I'm trying to preach in steps, but I think I just have to
push it together. Let's just pray. Okay. Today is Friday.
Yeah.
So we read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you remember? And then we stopped at verse 5. So let's go to verse 5 once again. Then we'll go to verse 6. Let's read TPT. We read TPT, right? Uh-huh. So resist the temptation to pronounce premature judgment. You remember this? God will give, each will receive praise from God. Now, next verse. Then Paul says that, dear brothers and sisters, I've been referring allusively to myself and Apollos in order to illustrate what I've been saying. It is futile to move beyond what is written in the scriptures and be inflated with self-importance by following and promoting one leader in competition with another. Because we're comparing Paul and Timothy. Sorry, Paul and Apollos. Do you see? Paul, they said, it's not so handsome. Apollos was a very fresh boy. He could speak well. So Apollos is better than Paul. But Paul was trying to let them know that none of us are important. All of us are doing what God is doing through us or wants us to do. So in chapter 3, verse 5. Are you understanding the message? He says, who then is Paul? Like, who are these guys? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. It's the Lord who gives to every man someone by whom you believe. Then he says, I have planted. Next verse. I have planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. God gave the increase. So the increase only comes from God. Next verse. Then he says, so then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Then it's God. Verse 8, now he that planted and he that watched are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Then he shows you how they labor in the ministry. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Hallelujah. Amplified of this will help. For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters. Laborers together with and for God. It's with first, then for God. It cannot be only for God, or else you miss it. Then it says, you are God's garden and vineyard under cultivation. You are God's building. Are you seeing it? Yeah. So God works through you to accomplish his purpose. God told Moses, he gave Moses the tabernacle, information concerning the tabernacle, how to do it. Then he told Moses, I've filled Aholiab and Bezalel with the spirit of wisdom to get it done. So Bezalel and Aholiab didn't come, they didn't use their scale to do God's work. It was through the spirit, it was by the spirit. They did it by the spirit. You cannot, what I'm trying to say is that you cannot work with for God on your own. You have to work with God. You must allow God to work through you. Hallelujah. Hey. Let's look at Paul, for instance. Paul is one of the people who built the church, isn't it? But Paul never spoke about his abilities. Okay, so let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Eh? 1 Corinthians 4. We read verse 6, verse 7, right? So let's read verse 8 now. He says, now you are full. Go to verse 7. Verse 7. I think we missed verse 7. So let's read from verse 6 into verse 7. Okay? Hello? And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Next verse. Then it says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou dost not receive? Whatever you have, you received. Now, if thou received it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? So whatever you are doing in the Lord, it's not because you are some wild guy. You are not sitting here because you like God. You are sitting here because God has worked in you to like him to be here. Yeah, it's the mercy of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Look at Philippians 2, verse 13.
Paul says, for it is God. Paul is talking about the verse before this talks about obeying God. Okay, go to verse 12. He says that, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, you've been saved from within, it's inside, bring it out. What I was talking about, solical salvation. He's discussing it. How to get it done. Then he says, not in your own strength. Next verse. Let's read amplified of this. It's nice. Not in your own strength. In other words, you cannot carry out the salvation that is within you, solical salvation, but it doesn't work. You cannot on your own, it will not work. Like, Jesus loves us so much that he doesn't leave us to ourselves to do whatever it is. He so loves us that he wants everything to be guided by him. Hey, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Where are you in it? Are you seeing what I'm talking about? So, you are not the blow man. You are not the jack. Like we say in Ashanti region, you are nothing. You are nothing. God is doing what he's doing. The calling is according to his purpose and grace. He gives you grace to get his purpose accomplished. You cannot accomplish anything on you. Yeah, I'm working for God. I'm doing this. I'm tired. Sure, you are tired where? You are tired because you are not doing what God is telling you to do. Or you have forgotten that you are working with God. None of the apostles worked alone. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. None of them worked alone. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them. The Lord was working with them. What was he doing with them? He was energizing them. He was making them willing. And he was compelling them to do of his own good pleasure. Where are you in the equation? Yeah, you are nowhere. Hey, I've worked for the Lord. I've made some sacrifices. O'Malley, you are actually enlisting strength, flesh. You are bringing flesh up. And by flesh, God hates nonsense. Flesh is called God hates nonsense. Because whenever you start thinking about you, you start becoming proud. And because you start becoming proud, God can't work with you. I don't know if you remember the day you woke up at 3 a.m. and prayed for 2 hours on your own. Then the following day, you woke up again at 3 a.m. and you prayed for 2 hours. Then after that, you went and then told someone, you know, these days I've been waking up and praying. You know, it's been very powerful. It's been very great. Then the following day, you wake up at 9. Has it happened to you before? And then you don't remember. It doesn't come again. Because instead of glorifying God, you were taking the glory. And God hates that thing. God hates that thing. It's the only thing that God hates. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. No flesh should glory in his presence. God hates it with passion. Wherefore, 1 Corinthians, what did I say? 1, verse 28 and 29. 1 Corinthians 1. He says, God has chosen base things of the world and things which are despised. Has God chosen? Yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing, things that are. TPT, we don't understand. Or NLT. Read NLT. Let's read NLT. God chose things despised by the world. God doesn't, if the world likes it, he doesn't like it. If the world likes it, he doesn't like it. God chose things despised by the world. Things counted as nothing at all. And used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. Why did he do that? Why does God choose to do that? So that no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God doesn't want anyone to boast in his presence. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. As the scripture says, the person who wishes to boast should boast only of what the Lord has done. If you wish to boast, you should only boast of what the Lord has done. So when you woke up at 3, you should have said, Father, I'm grateful. Hey, Lord, look at what you are doing. Me, I'm waking up at 3 to pray for 2 hours. Oh, Lord, you are the one doing this. It would have continued. But because you enlisted your strength, when strength is enlisted, God withdraws. Have you heard of Uzzah?
Perez Uzzah.
Uzzah means strength. Can you imagine? Uzzah means strength. When the Ark of Covenant was being carried on a new cart, it was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. They had made a mistake. God was angry already, but he wanted someone to make a mistake. He was looking for an opportunity to strike. Then the thing is, the ark is going, on the cart's going, and then it gets to a place where there were portals. A portal. Portal is not good. Uzzah would have survived if there was no portal. When the cart hit the portal and the ark was coming down, Uzzah wanted to help put it in place. When he touched it, he died. He wanted to help God. God doesn't need your help. Should I go home or I should keep preaching? God doesn't need your help. As soon as you enlist, as soon as you say, I, you have spoiled the thing. Daddy mentions how he was discussing something with a Jew some years ago. And then he was saying a lot of I. And the Jew said, I is for God. I belongs to God. Stop using I. We is for us. No, don't use I. Yeah, as soon as you say I, or you think I, you have spoiled the ministry. God withdraws. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. I learned the scripture 2 days ago. Here. This scripture I'm going to show. I learned it here 2 days ago. One of the pastors quoted it. I said, man, I'd never seen it, so I added it to my notes. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So if you are in church, you are giving. Don't say, I'm the Obuntia of the church. El Temano. If I'm not there, the church will not work. Brother, you are in trouble. If you notice that God is using you to do something, don't say it's just me, I'm doing. You have spoiled the thing. You have Uzzah. You have employed strength. Death is what is coming. Next verse. But let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, which is grace. The word loving kindness is hesed, grace. Judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight myself. I delight, saith the Lord. So only God must have the glory. And whenever you notice God is using you to do anything, start humble yourself, start glorifying him. Bring your mind to him more and thank him more. And that thing will just keep going. You'll be surprised. Hallelujah. For it is God who is all the while at work in you, both to will. Show us. Philippians 2 verse 13, Amplified. It is God. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Where's your sense of sight? In your head. Sense of smell? In your head. Sense of hearing? In your head. Sense of taste? In your head. Sense of touch? In your head. And then in your body. So the body has only one. One sense, touch. But every other thing is in the head. Christ is the head. The body doesn't deserve the credit. The credit is to the head. If the sense of sight is not there, how will you see and walk? If you are walking, you say, oh, the legs say, I'm something. That's it. We'll not go anywhere. The eyes will close. Walk and let's see. Where are you going? Not in your own strength. Tell me, but not in your own strength. Not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power. Can you imagine? The power is from him. The desire is from him. It's from him. The willingness he makes to you to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Where are you in the equation? Romans 11 verse 36. Look at Romans 11 36. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I didn't used to really understand it, but I just loved it until God gave me understanding. He says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. Ask your neighbor, where are you in the equation? You are nowhere. For from him, everything originates from him. Who is he talking about? Jesus Christ. And everything goes through him. And everything terminates in him. Your ministry comes from him. Your ministry goes through him. And your ministry terminates in him. Everything is from him.
For all things originate with him and come from him. All things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Only the Lord.
Only the Lord.
Only the Lord. So we work for the Lord by working with the Lord. And that is called grace. Grace is God at work and man at rest. This is Grace Cathedral. What it means is that we will not do it by our strength.
Amen.
By strength shall no man prevail. The race is not to the swifts. What's the rest? Or the battle for the strong. So if you are strong, you have lost. If you are swift, you think you are something, you have lost. Show me that verse, please. It's a nice verse. Come again. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 11. 9, verse 11. Please show it to us. I returned and saw another son, that the race is not to the swift. So if you are swift, it's not for you. No, the battle to the strong. If you are strong, it's not going to work. Neither yet bread to the wise. If you think you are wise, it will not work. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. Nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happened to them all. Can you imagine? The Lord... You see, there's another one that is in Romans. Romans says that, I will be merciful unto him that I will be merciful to. Okay? It's not unto him that willeth, unto him that runneth, but God who showeth mercy. You can run, you can wait, you can do. That's why you can make New Year resolutions. This year I'll serve God. Yeah? It no happen. Ask your neighbor, how far? Since you said, I swear my father can do not, but I'll... This year, dear, I'll fast throughout the year. You have eaten more than any other year of your life. Why? You were bringing strength to bear. And strength doesn't work. That's Uzzah. Uzzah is working. Death is what will come. Yeah. Forget it. Forget it. It's not going to work. Work with God. Work for God by working with God. Lord, work with me. Lord, do what you want to do. Lord, use me to do what you want to do. I'm ready, Lord. Whatever. Make me willing. The willingness, no cry, no. It's from God. Yeah. The desire, no cry, no. So if you have desire, don't think that you are better than the other person. God is the one who is working. That's why you are the way you are. You are the way you are because God is working in you to be what you are. Yeah. When you boast, it's finished. Yapong. The Lord will withdraw, you'll be shocked. Paul knew it. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 10. I think I can close because, I mean, you understand the message. But by the grace of God, look at this. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. What is grace? Grace is God at work, man at rest. Can you rest for God to do what he wants to do? Normally, we don't want to rest. We want to do more. We are too strong. You want to show your powers. Yeah. And we even say it when we are preaching or when we are saying something. Yeah, I did this and I did that. And I did it and I did that. And I did this and I did that. I is for God. Tell me about I is for I belongs to God. I belongs to God. We is for us. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever I am is by the grace of God. This is because of the working of God. Okay, let me show you something he said. Okay, then I'll bring you back to this. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Galatians 2, 7. But contrariwise, when he met, you know, James, Peter, James, and John, you know, the pillars of the church, and he had a meeting with them concerning his ministry. So he says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Okay? Then he explains what he's talking about. He says, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me to all the Gentiles. Now, let's read the Amplified of this verse. Let's read the Amplified. The Amplified is nicer. Can we read it together? One, two, go. For he who motivated and fitted Peter and worked effectively through him for the mission to the circumcised, motivated and fitted me and worked through me also for the mission to the Gentiles. So all that Paul did, I don't know if you are seeing it.
Yeah.
All that Paul did, the missionary work is moving around, he's going here, they are beating him, he's rising up, he's going shipwreck, he's going.
Che, oh, shipwreck, will you go again? Shipwreck. He says, a night and a day have I spent in the deep, in the sharks, in the middle of the sea. He spent a whole night, a whole day afloat on a piece of wood like this. One day, 24 hours, one night. Then he comes, he gets to shore, and he goes preaching. You think, it's like Paul is a very wild guy. I beg, he was not a wild guy. Jesus was working through him. And that same Jesus who worked with him and worked through him is the same Jesus who's sitting inside you. If you pay attention to him, he will do wonders with you. You'll be surprised. So everything still boils back down to intimacy. Your work is not possible without your walk. It's not going to work. Because you don't work in your bed. You have to walk. Get up. Walk. Sit in a car. Use your legs. Go somewhere to work. Even if you are online worker, whatever, you still move from your bed. You will do your meetings. You have to put, even if you are wearing boxer shorts, you still have to put your tie and everything on and pretend you are dressed properly. Don't stand up. Look at Paul's suffering. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Sure, one cane has not been touched. You used to touch you. You don't want any problem. No, be so.
Yeah.
I know someone who said, all these things is because of the work of the Lord. I'm going through all this because of the work of the Lord. I don't want to do it again. He's the one who's doing something. That is why he's complaining. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered. You know, in the Jewish stoning, they aim for your head first. It's like they're killing a snake. They aim for the head. When you're killing a snake, you aim for the head. That's what they do. They aim for your head first. They aim at breaking your bones. Yeah. It's a very wild description of how the stoning was done. It's not a joke. They are killing you. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And yet when he came back, he went back to the work. Why? Something was working inside. Something was doing him. It's woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Something was inside. The working of the Lord. The more you know, if you understand what I'm telling you, all you need to do is to start promoting the work of the Lord in you. Lord, work in me. Lord, work in me. Every morning you wake up, work. If you notice you are waking up at 3 a.m. and you are praying, tell the Lord, oh Lord, thank you. Look at me. Bad boy like me. I'm praying at 3. Oh, only you can do this. Thank you for letting me, helping me pray. As you encourage his ministry like that, he continues with you. Because now you are giving him his glory. You are not taking his glory. Galatians chapter 2, once again. Verse 8, amplified. Do you like my message?
Yes.
For he who motivated and fitted Peter and worked effectively through him. So Peter too was working because it was the work of the Lord through him. To the mission of the circumcised, motivated and fitted me and worked through me also for the mission to the Gentiles. Then he explains. Okay, next verse, verse 10, verse 9. He says, and when they knew, perceived, recognized, understood, and acknowledged the grace. So what he just described is the grace of God. Grace is God at work. God at work. Man at rest. God at work. Man at rest. And God will do whatever he wants to do with you. You see that you have become so fruitful. That's why fruitfulness comes from intimacy. As you are intimate with him, listening to him, you see that you are bearing fruit. The evangelism, the soul winning that you are struggling with, it will vanish. By the time Jesus is talking to you about doing some things with you, the motivation you will have, nobody can stop you. Yeah. But when you step out to do it, it doesn't work. You see that you are frustrated because there's no desire. You are being told from outside, do it. But there should be an inward working. Hallelujah. He called it grace. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, once again, verse 10. You remember 1 Corinthians 15, 10? 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Let's read King James. Oh, okay, the Amplified looks nice. Let's read the Amplified. Can we read it together? in Amplified. One to go. But by the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not found to be for nothing, fruitless and without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, the apostles, though it was not really I, but the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, which was with me. It's the grace that made him do what he did. Okay? So I came to tell you that your work is important. Very, very important. Your whole, remember, your garment, your wedding garment is actually your works. You are sewing diamonds, you are sewing silver, you are sewing precious stones, you are sewing gold into your wedding garment. That's what you are doing. Every single day, you get the opportunity to advance your garment some more. Every day. You are designing your own wedding garment. Let me explain that a bit for you, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Let's read 10 now and 11. Let's read from verse 10. Paul is talking about his work, and he says, according to, let's read TPT. God has given me unique gifts as a skilled master builder. It's actually grace. Who lays a good foundation? Afterward, another craftsman comes and builds on it. So builders, beware. You are a builder. You're also building something. Builders, beware. Let every builder do his work carefully, according to God's standards. Next verse. For no one is empowered to lay an alternative foundation other than the good foundation that exists, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Amen. Look at the next verse. The quality of materials used by anyone building on this foundation will soon be made apparent. Whether it has been built with gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw, their work will soon become evident. For the day will make it clear. What day is that? The day we stand before Jesus Christ. It will make it clear because it will be revealed by blazing fire. And the fire will test and prove the workmanship of each builder. You know, there's a judgment called the Bema Seat Judgment. Daddy has a book called the Bema. Okay. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he talks about, look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. I'm closing. For one day, we will all be openly revealed before Christ on his throne, so that each of us will be duly recompensed for our actions done in life, whether good or worthless. Let's read Amplified. Amplified is nicer. And I think we should read it together. Can we read it together? One, two, go. For we must all appear and revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may give his pay. Receive his pay. So there's a pay. God is going to give you. Jesus is going to give you a pay for what? For allowing him to work through you to do what he wants to do through you. So he's going to say yes to you for yielding, for saying yes. Grace can be in vain or grace can be used. Paul said the grace of God that was given to me was not in vain. It was not useless. When God worked in him, he said yes and did it. When God works in you and you say no, you have frustrated the grace of God. Grace in vain. So there's grace in vain and there's grace used. But by the grace of God, I'm what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. So that grace can be in vain. When God is, you know that God is waking you up at 3. You wake up. You are awake. Then you go on Instagram. TikTok. Or you force eye and sleep again. You go and eat something and come back. At the end, I'm sorry, 3. 3, not 3, the sorry, sorry, sorry. Hey, that's grace in vain. 1 Corinthians 6:1 also mentions grace in vain. 1 Corinthians 6:1. Same, sorry, 2 Corinthians 6:1. 2 Corinthians, not first. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Same thing. He says, we then as workers together with him, beseech you also that you received not the grace of God in vain. Because the grace of God can be received in vain. God is working in you to take care of children, to be a children's ministry pastor. Oh, I mean, it's not really my calling. Hey, you. There's a great desire God is working in you, but then it's grace in vain. You see, so on that day when you stand before him, he will check to give you your pay for saying yes. The whole Christian work is a matter of saying yes. If you're able to say yes, the rest, he will do it. When we say God at work and man at rest, rest doesn't mean you don't do anything. Rest is not inactivity. Rest is directed activity. Holy Spirit directed activity. Jesus directed activity. That's what we mean when we say rest. So I'm not saying you sit down and then the Lord is doing everything. No, God, I forgot you are the body of Christ. God will work through you. No part of our body is working on its own. We have blood vessels connected from the heart.
Yeah.
To every single part, every single cell in our body. Or it's not true. That's the truth. So the cells do not work on their own. They are powered. Okay. Yes, they are powered by blood and by other things, by food and all of that. It's not from them. And that's what I want us to understand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is in our hearts, isn't it?
Yeah.
And from our hearts. In fact, they say that the tabernacle of old, if it should be put together for it to stand, or that the Solomon's temple, if it is put together for it to stand, is actually the human body. Because God's desire has always been to live in man, not to live in temples made with hands. And now he's living in us. Where is he living? He's living in our hearts. Not this one that is beating. But it's a symbol. This one that is beating is a symbol of the center of our being. So Jesus, from the center of our being, which is our heart, pumps blood, okay, his power to every part of our system for us to work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So on that day, when you stand before him, he's going to ask. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Wow. I feel like God has helped you. That's what I feel. I feel like your work will change. Yeah. Amplified. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we read it once again? One to go. For we must all appear and revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, considering what his purpose and motive have been and what he has achieved, been busy with, and given himself and his attention to accomplishing. Yes. Yes. Giving yourself and your attention, isn't it?
Yeah.
To accomplishing. What you've been busy with. What have you been busy with? And giving yourself to. Houses are important. You have to build. Children are important. Everything is important. But every single thing must be connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his work. Then he will say thank you. Now, on that day when we stand before him, remember, he says that the fire will try our works and see what sort it is, whether it is gold, silver, or precious stone, or wood, hay, or stubble. If fire touches wood, hay, and stubble, what happens to it? It will burn. It will finish. So go back to that place in 1 Corinthians 3. Let me read. It says, their work will soon become evident, for the day will make it clear, because it will be revealed by fire, by blazing fire. And the fire will test and prove the workmanship of each builder. The next verse. If his work stands the test of fire, he will be rewarded. So you'll be rewarded only after your work stands the test of fire. Should I keep preaching? You'll be rewarded only after your work is tested by fire. Next verse. If his work is consumed by the fire, he will suffer great loss. He will suffer great loss, yet he himself will barely escape destruction, like one being rescued out of a burning house. Oh, you're like, you barely make it. You barely get a reward. You barely get to heaven. Hey! Are you understanding what I'm talking about? Yeah. And what is the fire he's talking about? The fire he's talking about is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. Look at Revelation 1:14.
This is a description concerning Jesus Christ. And he says that when he saw, Paul says, when he, sorry, John says, when he saw Jesus Christ, his head and his hair were white like wool, which describes the ancientness of Jesus. White as glistening snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. So actually, the judgment, bima judgment, no, is you standing before Jesus Christ. The word bima is foot space. Only one person can stand there. Husband and wife does not work. Children and daddy does not work. Pastor and church members does not work. Nothing works. It's just you. No group work. It's called foot space. Okay, and this is not a judgment to take you to hell. This judgment to give you your reward, to say thank you. So Jesus is going to say thank you to you. But his eyes will try your works. So he will look at you eyeball to eyeball. You see how uncomfortable it is to look at someone? If you are looking, the eyes tells our emotions. If someone is angry, you can tell by the eyes. If someone is happy, you can tell by the eyes. If someone is guiltless, you can tell by the eyes. When you stare, I can stare into my wife's eyes. Eyeball to eyeball. Because of the intimacy we share. Do you see? There's no problem. But it's so difficult looking into someone else. If I tell you to look into your neighbor's eyes, like, what are you looking for? What do you want? That's the question, like, so you start taking your eyes off. Now, on that day, your eye, Jesus' eyes will lock with your eyes. Yeah, his eyes are the flames. And he's going to ask you, his eyes, only one thing comes out of his eyes, love. And he's going to say, I loved you and I gave myself for you. How did you respond to my love? What did you do with my love? It's actually a test of love. Because our work must be done out of love. The only thing that makes our work become gold is love. Love is the greatest. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Let's read TPT. Why would you judge your brothers or sisters because of their diet, despising them for what they eat or don't eat? Why are you doing that? This is for we each will have our turn to stand before God's judgment seat. It's actually the same thing, judgment seat of Christ. Can you imagine? He says that if you despise your neighbor, how we treat each other. So Jesus is going to check how you treated your brother. The work of the Lord also has to do with what you did, how you treated your brother or your sister in Christ. Are you in the church? Look at the next verse. Just as it's written, as surely as I'm living, I'm the living God. I tell you, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess the truth and glorify me. Verse 12. Therefore, each one must answer for himself and give a personal account of his own life before God. Each one. Next verse. So stop, because we are going to give account, so stop being critical and condemning of other believers. But instead, determine to never deliberately cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall because of your action. So Jesus will ask you, when you stand before you, ask you, I love you. Did you love your brother? I loved you. I gave my life for you. Did you learn to walk in love? Did you return my love to me and work for me or work with me? You remember, Jesus told Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than all these things? So we work as shepherds because of love. When you understand how much he has loved you, you are compelled to do what he wants you to do. If he gave his life, what can't you give? Can you imagine? Your beloved has walked from Apromase to Kejetia to come and see you. It's a journey. And then he comes to see you and he says, can we walk back together as we are talking? As we just walk me back to maybe Tech Junction. Like, hey, maybe I can't be doing those things. I can't be doing all this walking. Do you know what you are saying? What you are saying is that you don't like my love. You don't like my love. That's what you're saying. So Jesus will ask, I came all the way for you. How far did you also go for me? Ministry is done when we, by understanding how much we have been loved. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. So our ability to love, we love him because he first loved us. You cannot love him without understanding how much he has loved you. He loved you. The cross is a display of his love for you, his eternal love for you. The more you understand what he has done for you, the more you are compelled. Paul's secret was that he understood that Christ, the love that Christ has showed for him. 2 Corinthians chapter. I'm sorry for quoting many verses. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, if we be beside ourselves, it is for your sake. For the love of Christ constrained us. Not the love we have for Christ, though, but the love that Christ has had for us. Compels us, constrains us. Because, let's use the lighter TPT, we don't understand. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion. Have you seen it? It's very clear. It's Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. Because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all died with him. Verse 15. So that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives. Ask your neighbor, are you living a self-absorbed life? Tell your neighbor, I know you are not living a self-absorbed life. You know Jesus. You love Jesus. So that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. Have you seen it? That's the key to the ministry. The more you understand him. So that day when you stand before him, he will check. His eyes will lock with your eyes. Then he will check. Guilty eyes will move away. You can't, because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You weren't faithful in working with him. You weren't faithful in having intimacy with him. You are compelled to take your eyes off. You know, living in intimacy with Jesus Christ causes his character, okay, his power, his greatness to rub off on you and show up in you. Jesus says, when someone strikes you on the right hand, the right cheeks, turn to the other cheek. Turn the other. You see, flesh will say, hey, no. You can't do it on a normal day. It's not possible. It is only Christ formed in you that will cause you to turn the other cheek. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Being able to turn the other cheek is supernatural. And that is a work of God. The life of God. When the life of God oozes out of you, someone has done something wrong to you and you forgive. There's something called forgiveness. Forgiveness is the most powerful expression of love. Because that's what love did. Love forgave. God so loved that he forgave so that we can be forgiven. Are you in the church? So when you're able to forgive your neighbor, gold is coming out of your life. You are designing your dress with gold. You are working with someone in the office, and then he does something against you. You feel like cursing him. Then you pray for him. Hey, you have just worked work of God. I loved you. Did you learn to love your neighbor? He will ask you. Then you ask, I loved you. Did you learn to work with me? Did you learn to lead people, other people to Christ? So silver always represents redemption. Biblically speaking, silver is always redemption. So when you lead people to Christ and help people to be raised in the Lord, God will reward you. Jesus will reward you with silver. You're actually working works of silver in your garment. Hey, are you tired? I'm closing. It's my time is up. Yeah. It's a night, gold, silver. But if someone does something against you and you don't forgive the person, you just work wood. Yeah, yeah, flesh. Wood is flesh. Into your wedding gown. You just... Yeah, it will burn. Yeah. All flesh is as grass, isn't it? So grass, wood, hay, stubble, that's grass, flesh. You responded in a normal Ghanaian way. Your head like tomatoes. Then when you are going through life's issues,
Plenty problems because of the ministry, because of something. And you're still standing. You still love Jesus. You've lost someone close to you, are still going. You didn't say, because some people stop following Jesus when they lose someone close to them. When someone close dies, didn't you see that at all? I prayed, nothing happened. But they are gone. But the same thing happens to someone, and he's still around, still flowing, still happy. Even what? Even stronger. Hey. You are working work off. It's called precious stones. Precious stones are produced from deep pressure, hot fire, problems. You still stand. I'm still with Jesus. You are still happy. You are still flowing. You were hoping to bugger. You are hoping to travel. The visa, they bounce you, but you are still loving Jesus. You don't say that, hey, they bounce me. I prayed. I fasted. Nothing happened. God, take yourself. Me, I've taken myself. Visa. Everybody should take themselves. Because of visa. Can you imagine? And it happens a lot. Visa. To a country that you go and suffer in. Jesus is saving you from going somewhere. Or you could have gone to die there. You can't trust in his decisions for you. Your husband. You can't trust your husband's decisions for you. You want to go to South Africa. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, on that day, faithfulness. Faithfulness is being faithful to God with your, like, he woke you up, you woke up to pray. He worked in you, not allowing the grace to go vain. That's basically what faithfulness is all about. You see, so the faithfulness is in reference with these two things, intimacy and work. Intimacy and work. So as he was working, when he was prompting you to win a soul, you won a soul, you were faithful to him, you get your reward. When he told you to pass out that church, you were moved. You allowed his working in you to do. So please, if you've noticed God is telling you something, you've not done it, go and do it. Don't explain it away. Like, oh, I don't think it's God. It's God. Then it comes all the way down to offense. It comes all the way to offense. When God has put you in a family, do you know what God does? The Bible says that he sets the solitary in families. That's what the Lord does. So you are not sitting here because you just found your way here. The Lord is the one who did it. He sets you in a family. Because you cannot function outside of a family. One of the greatest tragedies of life is when you lose both parents at a young age. You can't function on your own. No child is born by a tree or by a rock. Every child is born by another human being and must be raised in a family. So God sets you there. When you decide that I don't like this because someone said this to me, the pastor preached and he pointed to my direction and said my problem, or he said something concerning me. Who should we preach about? Who are we preaching to? So who should we preach about? So offense and all of that removes you from your God-given place. You see, and if a cell in the body relocates, if let's say you know what I'm talking about, a hair cell or something ends up growing in the breast, what happens? That's cancer, right? If another type of cell is growing somewhere, it's not supposed to be. Oh, it's not cancer. It's abnormal. It's not supposed to be like that. You are there and then teeth is coming out of your breast. Because the teeth say, they are always seeing me. I don't want them to see me. When I want to be hidden. I'm an introvert. I want privacy. And all that is not working in love. You see, when you allow offense to remove you from where God has placed you, offense makes you not do what you are supposed. You know what God is working. The intensity reduces. You become passive. You are losing yourself. You are losing your reward, actually. He says that we, through much tribulation, should enter into the kingdom of God. It's through much tribulation. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I pray for you that on that day, when you stand before him, you'll be able to give a good account of yourself. Yeah. When he looks into your eyes, you look back into his eyes with so much joy. You lock the eyes because you walked in intimacy with him and you worked closely with him to produce his results. Yeah. It is his work in you. Submit to him. He giveth grace to the humble. Acknowledging God in you, at work in you, is humility. Thinking that you are doing it is pride. And the only time God fights against his children is when they are proud. He gives grace, more grace. What is grace? God at work. He works so much in you and gives you so much rest when you allow him to work in you and acknowledge that he's the one who is doing it. You see, your life is just going higher. There's no stress in you. There's no stress. God has blessed us with the church, whatever. It's not, I sleep like a baby. When there are problems, whatever. Father, you said I should do this. Oh, thank you very much. Love you. Good night. I go to bed. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. Me, I have to sleep and slumber. I'm off to bed. You can ask my wife, if there's any time there's a sleepless night about something, it's because that thing is not correct. I have to correct it. I think I've had 2 sleepless nights. One, a pastor who was trying to take one of our churches. I had a sleepless. I said, no, this guy, what does it mean? I had to face him by the power of the Holy Spirit. The other person wanted to divert our attention to something else. I had to face the person. Yeah. Because that's what God was leading me to do. So please, work with God. And work knowing that he is the one who is at work in you. Maybe I should leave you with one last verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. 27, 28, and 29. Paul said, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is at work in you, the hope of glory. The word hope is joyful, confident expectation of good only. That's hope. Hope is not the godly hope is not the same as a worldly hope. It's different. The godly hope is joyful, confident expectation of good only. Yeah. But let's go to the next verse 20. It says, Christ, whom we preach, warning every man. Paul is telling us the work he's doing. He says, I preach Christ, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that I may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Then he says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Let's read the Amplified of this, then we'll close. For this, he's talking about the ministry. He says, for the ministry, my ministry, my work with the Lord, or my work for the Lord. It's not me. For this I labor unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. Hallelujah. So I pray that God will work in you to cause you to be willing, to cause you to have the desire to do what? One last scripture. I think one last scripture will work. This scripture, I really wanted to mention a scripture to you. I just remembered. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. Amplified. Hebrews 13, 21. Can we read it together?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can read it because the verse before this is talking about God. It says, may God strengthen. Okay, so let's read it like that. One to go. May God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.